in order to manage the market, they have to let the buying power exhaust. And once that exhausts, and then they will chip away the market, which means that you don't want to miss that boat in that 6 to 9 months. That's going to be the greatest gain that you will ever see.
They now have to keep printing or we crash.
We've got this ticking time bomb.
Talking gold with the one and only Andrew Maguire.
Welcome to Live from the Vault.
Welcome to Live from the Vault. My name is Shane Moran, and I'll be your host for this episode. And from the entire Live from the Vault team worldwide, we want to thank you for your continued support. And as you can imagine, the community keeps growing more and more every single week. Now, there's a lot to talk about during these historic times, and Andrew Maguire is in the house with an industry expert by popular demand, Mr. John Lee, chairman of Silver Elephant Mining Corp., and we'll be talking gold. This is going to be an amazing episode. You won't want to miss a word here. You know, Live from the Vault gives you access to information and updates that you just can't get anywhere else. And this episode, ladies and gentlemen, will be no exception. So just before we go to talking gold with Andrew Maguire and our special guest, Mr. John Lee, please help keep spreading the word about this channel by hitting that like button, by sharing, by subscribing, and make sure you hit on that little bell right there if you want to be notified as each episode goes live. So let me introduce you to our special guest. John Lee is a CFA and accredited investor with over two decades of investing. He's got experience in metals and mining equities, a Rice University graduate. He's got degrees in economics and engineering. Now, Mr. Lee is the chairman of the board of the Elephant Silver Mining Corp. And with that, let's head over to the UK and talking gold with the one and only Andrew Maguire and Mr. John Lee. Over to you, Andy.
John, it's such a privilege to have you on, my friend. I know of you and look forward to actually having a chat about perhaps the non-US centric view of life, which is kind of cool. But also, we're talking also silver, and that chain just is. I met Shane a few years ago, it's quite some years ago. And he's just a silver nutter. I mean, he's completely crazed on silver. He has had so much silver over the years, and he won't sell a single ounce to anybody. And anyway, so you when I saw the name of your company, Silver Elephant Mining Corp, well, I got kind of excited too, because we love silver as well. Tell us a little bit about maybe what that is. I know it's an exploration company, but what else? What does it do, John?
Yeah, Andy, Silver Elephant is a mining exploration company that's silver focused. It has a flagship project's name is Pulacayo, that's in Bolivia. And as the name had implied, you know, when we go out hunting, we hunt for a project of size, elephant size. Even though there's no elephant in Bolivia, however, Bolivia is the sixth largest silver producer in the world today, even though there's lack of silver investment. So that the silver production is a belt that extended from south from Argentina all the way to Bolivia and further north. And I've been involved in the silver in the silver mining and silver investment for the last 20 years. I was studying under James Turk, whom you might know as well, of gold mining in 2002. Before that, I spent about 7 years in the dot-com industry and semi-retired and got into the investments in the mining space by accident. When I moved to Vancouver with my girlfriend. So I spent the first 10 years as an investor investing in the gold and silver mining equities, primarily focusing in the junior sector. And the latter 10 years from 2010 to 2023, the last 13 years, I was the CEO and chairman of Silver Elephant Mining, focus again on silver exploration and silver development.
Well, that's really interesting. You mentioned two things there that got my attention. James Turk, what a gentleman, what a knowledgeable guy. And also you mentioned Vancouver. Well, I spent 15 years there too. So it was a really good experience. In fact, my kids are there. Grandchildren are there, so it's a wonderful place. But also, again, that if you're going to cut your teeth anywhere, the VSE is certainly a place you're going to do it. It's quite an aggressive marketplace. But so John, I'm going to Let's talk about a bunch of global stuff. But one thing, because we've got Powell right now behind me chatting away about stuff, and so we'll just get the US one out of the way. But what's interesting to me is, and I was going to ask you this. This is a question for you, John. The Fed tells us they're going to be tightening. Okay, but they just added $1 trillion in liquidity over the last 3 months. So in practice, to me, they're just actually doing QE, not QT. What are your thoughts on that, John?
Andy, I'm a student of history and money. The Fed was created around 1910, 1913. The purpose of that, if you to study the books, is say, is to smooth out volatilities and to help manage the economy and ride out the storms. But the U.S. monetary system was hijacked since 1913. And people never ask, who does the Fed serve, even though they said it's independent. Who appointed the Fed, right? And the lights really bear fruit in the last, I would say, last couple of years. Because, Andy, think about it. I mean, remember back in the days of 2011, 12, or 14, when oil went to $100, $120, and the Fed's message is, well, the inflation is relatively tame, and there's a bit of flexibility in the measurement of the Fed. And then, and now, fast forward to now, oil is at 70 or 80, which is sort of within the realm of a trading band in the last 10, 15 years. Yet the Fed's tone has completely changed to being a hawkish and aggressive, and you got to hit the inflation on the nail, et cetera. And this is coming from, Andy, the same person, Jerome Powell, who started his Fed chairman a position as being hawkish and then become dovish and then become hawkish again. And there's some certain Fed members out of, I think, Minnesota or Wisconsin, was very, very dovish, and now it's become very, very hawkish. My view on the whole situation, Andy, is that, there are some, this is what I call the governor that's governing the governments. They are really the ones calling the shots. And my view on the situation of inflation and interest rates is that inflation was almost manufactured to justify the rising interest rates. And the reason for the hiking interest rates is to fit the 2030 agenda, which is own nothing and be happy. So we've had over a decade of experiment of ultra low interest rates by design. And Andy, now is the time that the governors or the designers of the theme is hiking interest rate and bring home to roost. And what that means is that the world was by design addicted to the debts of ultra low interest rates. And now the governors are raising interest rate to achieve their ulterior ultimate agenda, which is make the public, the middle class, own nothing and be happy.
Goodness me, and that all makes sense. So really, it's almost a playbook, isn't it? The book from Jekyll Island is a playbook, and the last chapter really shows what they're trying to achieve here. So this has been something that's so transparent. But I think one of the things that encourages me, John, which is it's nice to have you here because you've your global view of things, which is highly, I mean, for our US friends, who really, although in our world, everyone gets what we're talking about here. But outside of that, the average person in America owns probably an ounce of gold. I mean, if it's jewelry, I mean, that's about it. They have no concept of the value of it. Now, interestingly, you've just mentioned a price for gold, which would be conservative, which I think is also conservative, but let's be conservative. But let's just imagine, step into India. The average Indian farmer cycling down a dusty path has kilos of the stuff through dowries over time. Now, if you did revalue gold at that kind of price, or the gold price, just think of the polar shift of, they'd be very wealthy, could be very, very wealthy indeed, compared to the average American. Just, I mean, this is a silly thought, but I mean, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, most of the world, including the Asians, I don't think they're any smarter than the Western people. They're all brainwashed. So the perception, when I talk to even my mother about gold, her view is, oh, there's no money to be made. You know, I'd rather to be buying TSMC or Yahoo or Google or even real estate. But I think in the end, Andy, as I mentioned, it's all about central banks because gold is not for consumption, not like silver. So there's well over $2 trillion of gold out there. And it's really going to, I don't think it's going to be the retail that drives the gold prices moving forward, but the recompositions of the central bank holdings. Because, I mean, increasingly, if you look at geopolitics, again, you know, I only talk about geopolitics to the extent that it affects the gold price, is U.S. Used to be, you know, U.S. is the sort of the statesman, right? It's the big brother, and not so much a big brother, but it's a statesman in the room. It's a very neutral position. But now, Andy, we had a subscriber from Canada try to subscribe to Silver Elephant shares and was flagged for anti-money laundering, for anti-money laundering practice. And this is something, somebody from middle of Alberta wired $20,000 to Silver Elephant. And there is a lot of right now, for example, in China, a lot of their accounts are flagged. And the dollar system is just not as fluid as it once was. And not to mention that the hammers are dropped everywhere. You know, in the United States, interfering with how Saudis see Yemen and in the Middle East is dictating the terms on how sort of the U.S. dollar could be spent. And it's just not as fluid as it was once was. So all the signs are pointing to having gold and silver reverting back to the non-judicial, non-biased a form of money, which is what money really should be, Andy.
Yeah, absolutely. And that draws me on to silver, because obviously now you are obviously in the world of silver and you're obviously exploring for large silver finds. But I think silver, I'd love your opinion on silver, because while one can control gold, I think it's going to be a lot more difficult to control silver. Now, for example, I have clients who I've said, looked at the vaults, and we see floor to ceiling, literally one client there, floor to ceiling, 1 ounce silver coins, floor to ceiling on pallets. And I said, are you crazy? Come on. You know, let's get you some standard 1,000 ounce bars, so much better. He said, are you crazy, Andy? Are you crazy? He said, because when this little coin is worth 50, 100, 200 yes. bucks, that's what I'll be able to use that. So what's your thoughts there?
Absolutely. I'm of the same view. Andy, this is not just about silver and the markets being managed. The price discoveries of all the markets are pretty much gone. You remember during the financial crisis, oil now went from what? $80 to $70 to $60 to $40. And I have one of our shareholders, this expert oil trader, he lost $10 million because he was lowering oil at $10. Much behold, oil went to negative. So that's just a testament of how skewed the markets are. And another great example is nickel. Nickel, just this time last year, was $10. And all of a sudden, you had two or three speculators that came into the nickel market and squeezed the short. And then nickel went from $10 to $50 overnight. And that had halted. The London Metals Exchange halted the nickel trading and canceled the trades over $30. So all the trades over $30 to $50 were canceled. And now they're facing LME, London Metals Exchange is facing a multi-billion-dollar lawsuit. And that's why, Andy, I advocate strongly to use gold, to accumulate gold and silver. That's why I just mentioned to you, I bought 50 a kilo of gold, which is about $60,000, you know, for the first time since 2005. And because in the end, when all said and done, the only way you can be sure of the exposure to gold and silver is to own the physical. The futures market is it's a paper market. And when push comes to shove, you're not going to be, I mean, Andy, it's occurrence in Argentina, in Brazil as well. They could hold the market, exchange your holdings according to the the hold and then lift the hold and let the price rip. There's nothing you can do about it, Andy, unfortunately. And one other thing you talk, I really resonate a lot, Andy, is about using gold and silver as money. Imagine the central bank digital currency scenario you talked about. And people say, well, then how are you going to convert this gold and silver? Well, Andy, it's very clear. When you're ready to spend money, you take a coin out, you exchange for digital currencies, and you spend that money, right? And over time, I think gold and silver, the physical is going to be accepted in various parts of the world. And that's how, that's how I see the monetary system evolve over time. Because there's going to be an element of people who will reject central bank digital currencies. You know, they don't want to be dictated on when they spend their money, how they spend their money, and what they spend their money on. And the only way to circumvent that is to own the physical. There's no other way.
Yeah, and I agree, totally agree. And that is exactly, we got a huge amount of people. I mean, in our world, we see a lot of people doing that. And as I say, all the way down to the people stacking silver in smaller amounts because they can afford it. And I think it'll be very difficult to rein in silver at some point. And I think, you know, what you've mentioned the price, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, John, but you've mentioned a reasonably conservative price for gold, which is really as it's measured in dollars. I mean, forget it, because gold has never moved in value anyway in 5,000 years. But in dollar terms, what if we have to use dollar terms, where do you think silver might be, say, the end of this year?
You know, and I don't look at silver particularly measured in dollars. It has to be measured in consumption of the in conjunction of the dollar index, for example, as well as interest rates. The way the market works, Andy, is the gold and silver market is managed by the most of the time by the futures market. So if there is some certain event that favors silver or gold, such as a war, and where there is an exorbitant amount of futures interest and bids, the governors will let the market rip. They might even fuel the rally until the buying exhausts. And then from there, they can try to chip it away. And then like you saw, silver was 24, now silver is 20. Doesn't mean that there's less people who want a silver or the fundamentals of silver changed. So what I'm trying to say is that's why you see those great volatilities up and down is by design to try to shake people out by those people that are managing the market. Therefore, the technical analysis is critical in making forecasts. The way I look at it right now is silver is bound between, say, $20 to $28. So this is the range silver is going to trade. And for gold, it will be around $1,800 to about $2,100. And so right now, gold, silver is at the lower level of the band, which is a great buying opportunity. And gold also is the same. I don't think gold is going to go back to $1,600. Silver you're going to go to 1700. If so, it would be a very brief dip. And then from there, Andy, we have to wait until the bank gets broken out. And that will be $28 for silver and then about $2,100 for gold. Assume that the $28 level got taken out, then you're really looking at a territory that's never been tested. Remember, like back in 1980, I think silver went from $20 to $50 in less than a month. I wasn't there to witness. But I would not be surprised seeing something very similar to that kind of movement. But the volatilities or the pace or the height or the peak that's going to reach is really going to be dependent on what happened at that time. Nobody really have the crystal ball, Andy, on what particular event that would drive the breakout. It could be one event, could be multiple events, and it could be no event. Like think about silver when it went from $17 to $28 back in 2020. There was not any particular driver, right? So we don't know. It's only going to be known in hindsight. But what I do know, Andy, is the governors or the cartel is going to let the market rip until the buying power exhausts. And then from there, they're going to chip it away. It could be 40, could be 50, could be 100. Nobody really knows. And you know what? The cartels wouldn't know either. They can only cross their fingers every day when the COMEX opens and see how much buying interest across the globe. Nonetheless, I think, Andy, let me just conclude. There's one point I want to emphasize is you have to buy gold and silver. I'm really not sweating over silver $22 versus $20 or $24. This is measured in dollars. When the breakout happens, you know, that's when everything hang loose. is that in 1997, you had the Asian financial crisis. I was 20 years old at the time, so I really didn't know what happened there. Then you have 2009, that was the mortgage crisis, of which people's wealth was destroyed by the paper instrument. And in 2019, there was the health mandate, of which people's movement were restricted, not only from financial sense point of view, but from, like, literally they were locking you up, right? Until you protest to the point where you're not going to put up with it anymore, and then they let you loose. I think, Andy, by 2029 or 2028, the 2030 WEF agenda, which you own nothing and be happy, I really start sounding these points recently. Andy, I think there's going to be some global event that will trump, that will make the COVID and the 2009 crisis look pale in comparison. And so, Andy, I'll give some hints about where I think the things are going. The world is so electrified and digitalized. Can you, like, from EVs, for example, or even city of New York, they're shutting down natural gas as a source of heating. So you have to rely on the electricity for your power generation, for your automobiles, for your heating, for your transacting, for everything. Can you imagine, Andy, for a minute, that the world goes without electricity for 2 weeks to a month? There could be some event, some global catastrophic event on a global scale or on the galactical scale that would make such an event. Can you imagine that? And that would be a perfect arrangement to consolidate, for the governors to consolidate world governments into one, for the world currencies, fiat currency, to be consolidated into one. That's why I believe that we're looking at a dollar index bull market. That's what the index is telling us, because all the other currencies are subordinated to the dollar. And if that scenario were to happen, of which the world runs a month without electricity, you know, it's the cryptocurrencies, some of the well-known cryptocurrencies that will survive because they could be in cold storage, and also gold and silver. This, and guess what? No matter what the government do, how bad or the bad people do, there's always a way out. And the way out, Andy, is to have physical means under your mattress, not even with the bank. You're not, like, Andy, you log into the bank, you're not going to see anything. It's completely abstract. You cannot possibly rely on a computer somewhere. Like, and let me give an example. An airplane disappeared 6 years ago. Can you imagine this digital world? How can an airplane possibly disappear in the middle of nowhere, like the MH Malaysian airline? So if the airplane can disappear out of nowhere, why not have the Fed's bank, you know, quote unquote, central bank's computer hijacked? Could that be a possibility? Why not? Everything could happen. So, you know, that is really the ultimate insurance currency for you to own the physical, and not to mention that there's added benefit of the appreciation of gold and silver over time. And I mean, Andy, for these people say that gold and silver are boring, remember 2020 when Gordon Brown dumped the last bunch of gold at $250? Well, you know, 20 years later, I remember that moment. 20 years later, gold is almost went up 8 times. Actually performed better than my condo in Vancouver, which went up 4 times. So everything is all relative. You have this big catalyst on the horizon, which is the shift in reserves in global reserve, coupled with a lot of people just not going to put up with this agenda of the digital currency. I think those two factors combined is really going to be the ultimate driver of gold and silver, not about inflation or interest rates. These are just, you know, window dressing elements. But the real titanic shift is going to come from the global reserve makeup changing that. And also, the people are not going to put up with the digital currencies or all these micro mandates. And the only way out is gold and silver.
Well, I mean, how long is the longest fiat currency? I mean, 40 years is about the average for a fiat currency to survive.
In Argentina, you'd be four.
Yes, exactly. And you could wake up tomorrow and have 50% inflation and again. So really, gold's been the only currency, as you say. This is not rocket science. It's been around for 5,000-6,000 years. It is the benchmark. Everything else is valued against it. And obviously, you know, really... One of the things that really has my interest at the moment, because of is the declining unipolar hegemon, and it is undoubtedly a thorn in the side of of the central planners. And it's not all going their way. And I think, you know, we looked at what happened to the WEF this last year, or a few months ago. And we see the UAE coming and saying, yeah, we're going to be using different currencies. I mean, goodness me, anyone who has ever said they're not going to buy gold or oil in dollars has been eradicated. Saddam Hussein, Libya. I mean, goodness me.
Yes.
You know. So this is interesting. It's not all going their way.
And not exactly. And nobody has that crystal ball. And that's why I think at 2000, at 1800 or 1700, 1900 gold, at $22 silver, 25, it is accumulation phase. And Andy, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen in the future, but I'll share something interesting on the positives. I mean, on the downside is that the governors are in control of the military, in control of the governments around the world, in control of all the feds. But on the downside, keep in mind, you have what, 2/3 of the people that live in Africa, in Asia. And Andy, I think the sort of the utopia vision is that Amazon is going to deliver everything. Everybody stay home, do nothing, and get fed. It might work in the United States and Europe, but Andy, it's not going to work in, say, Indonesia, where there's 200 million people. The government don't have the apparatus or the resources to feed that many people, to create that utopian Aurelian vision. It's just not, it's not practical, it's not possible, because there's just so many people that require interaction, that commerce so huge to manage. It's not like everybody lives six feet apart in the United States or on a farm, whatever it is. I think it's just impractical in that sense. But how these different forces play out is yet to be seen. But regardless, you know, I really see the dollars on this last leg, because 2/3 of the world participants are just not going to subscribe to this agenda. You know, it just, look at the carnage it's caused. And I think a lot of the governments are getting very, very strong pushback in other parts of the world. You know, the governors don't have as well as penetration in some parts of the world. That's just not going to put up with Brazil, South America, as an example. I mean, I don't think they can stage another 6-month lockdown. People are not going to put up with more than a month, not to mention 6 months, because there's just not enough people to be fed. We're living in a very, very interesting world. And Andy, in my view, I came on the program in February of 2021. I said that in February 2022, when 10-year was 2%, I said 1.5%. I said 10-year is going to go to 3%. Lo and behold, 10-year went to 4%. I would not be surprised if 10-year go above 6% and the U.S. 30-year go above 10%. You know, there will be strong pushback from the CalPERS, from the pension funds, from the middle class. However, unless somebody really go on, you know, putting metals on the ground and really do sort of making their voices heard, that is the trajectory that we're going to see, Andy. And all this reasoning is just a pretense to justify the ends, which is to bankrupt the middle class and make everybody own nothing and be happy. It's a very interesting dynamics. And like I said, you know, to repeat myself, is the way out is to have some gold and silver coins under a mattress. There's nothing to lose. And that's where I look at things.
Yeah. And I think the latest, I mean, to be honest, I think this, it did fail, the whole lockdown thing, certainly in this country, in the UK. People figured it out pretty quickly. They're never going to dare do it again. And then you've got, you know, obviously people to get digital passports to be able to control whether they can travel or not. It's kind of that game is blown. So, but in the meantime, something major happened. Obviously, we had the weaponization of the US dollar. That was a huge, to me, that is the biggest mistake that ever was done, because by weaponizing the US dollar, really 2/3 of the world you've just described are saying, I don't trust that. I'm out of there. So,
well, Andy, there's the reason. I don't think there was a choice. I think that the dollar is on its last leg of the fiat, like you said, because 2/3 of the people are not going to put up with these mandates. But there is agenda to fulfill, Andy. That's 2030, And I'm not so sure about people not going to happen again. As I mentioned, I think 2028, 29, there's going to be an existential threat or some sort of global crazy event that's going to take place, so that to submit people into compliance again. It's going to have to, people have to, you know, if you watch some other people like David Icke, and some people say, you know, it's love and peaceful protest. Well, people have been protesting peacefully in Cuba and Venezuela for 20, 30 years. It doesn't work. Okay. These protests, they're not going to work. The only way it works is put the money where your mouth is to bankrupt the fiat system and draw attention to gold and silver to pass these critical technical levels in order to draw additional interest and buying. That's really going to be the way out. Unfortunately, Andy, there are some good people that are running the governments. I'm not saying all are bad. Boris Yeltsin actually had a lot of good things to say before he came into power. Unfortunately, as you know, Andy, how many prime ministers changed in the UK in the last 4 years? Unfortunately, the prime ministers or the presidents, they don't dictate the terms anymore. It's these transnationals that have their own agenda that are pushing down the throats of these national governments. And that's why I said there is the governors that govern the national governments that are really calling the shots. There's a lot of pushback, but you know, there's going to take a unified power across up and down. I'm not so optimistic about it. And that's why I think you can vote with your voice by buying gold and silver. That's really the way out. Another thing I advocate, Andy, is to have multiple residences around the world, because you never know which one's going to kowtow, which is going to be submit to agenda faster than the others. So just be agile, be nimble, and all these blue and red and different politics are a lot of it just for show. And unfortunately, we really don't know what's going to happen, what will happen. But I would just say that for people who think that 2019 is the biggest event of all, we ain't seen nothing yet. That's very, very clear to me, that they're onto something much grandeur in scale. And that's in the planning space. That's in the planning. And you just got to be prepared of a world without electricity for a few weeks, and how you're going to survive in that scenario. And that's how I see things going to play out.
Yeah, John, you know, this is perfect, because if we're ever going to end on a note, and I always, all of my productions and anything, we always ask the final question. And we had an interview with Robert Kiyosaki, who has always the same question. It's the only question left to ask is, how much physical do you actually own? Because what you've just said, it is your only solution. None of us know how this is going to play out. But if you're going to ever have a hedge, it is to have physical in your possession, silver because it is spendable, gold because it's an asset. And to me, you know, what you've just talked about is it just screams that to me.
Andy, let's not bother measuring silver in dollars, like you mentioned, right? I look at silver as a store of wealth. So a very interesting exercise I used to do a lot is just carry an ounce of American Eagle silver in your pocket. And every time when you go shopping, you say, you know what? That's such a beautiful thing. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can even smell it. It's intangible. You take that coin of silver American Eagle. You say, you know what? If I'm buying McDonald's, right? Like, that's a perfect example, Andy. Nowhere in hell would I have changed that beautiful thing for a Big Mac. It's very, very intuitive. And it's very intuitive. Humans are born with intuition, okay? That silver coin, in my view, should easily exchange for 2 or 3 days worth of meals for that coin. You should be able to buy 10 Big Macs with that coin. I cannot explain why. I don't have a mathematical formula to show you, but that would be a very good sort of a feel, get a feel for. So right now, an ounce of silver is 20, but you can get a coin maybe just slightly under 30. Well, you know, is that coin really worth a sandwich or a steak sandwich that you have, right? The answer is probably no. So that means that silver is still very undervalued. When you know silver is overvalued, and there's going to be a time that comes, is that when your silver is getting more, you know, buying 5 or 6 or 7 meals, then you know, right? And so these are, I wouldn't, like I said, right now we're in a very, it's in a great accumulation phase. I would say it's all the way dated back to 2000, when silver is $4, when gold is $250. That major, major run is coming because of the shift in that dollar standards. And this is the wave you want to catch. Because like I said, Andy, the cartel is gonna let the it's gonna let the market run when the technical level is breached out. And they're gonna let it run until the buying exhausts. And that's why you see those great volatilities in gold and silver. I never understood why. But now I understood, because they, in order to manage the market, they have to let the buying power exhaust. And once that exhausts, and then they will chip away the market, which means that you don't want to miss that boat in that 6 to 9 months. That's going to be the greatest gain that you will ever see. And that is going to come in, I would say, maybe 2023. If not, will be in the very near term horizon, Andy. I'm very bullish. And I would say go for the physicals. Because you don't want to get in a scenario like nickel, where they will arbitrarily halt the market, they will roll back. It's unfathomable. And that's what exactly what they did. They will roll back all the trades, and then will redeem your trades with fiat, right? And then they will let the market rip after. And there's nothing you can do, Andy. How are you going to voice? Can you imagine silver go to 100 in 2 days from 30, and then the COMEX roll back all the trades back to 30? And then settle your trades at $30. Yeah. That's exactly what they did for nickel.
Yeah.
And Andy, why would you think it wouldn't happen to COMEX? It's run by the same governors. Because they're going to have to bail out all the short papers. Like while on this ascent, right, the JP Morgan, the commercials will be shorting to no end. And they had to bail them out. And the way to do that is citing some market irregularities, or some circuit breakers tripped over for the wrong reasons. Or even worse, they would just say that, you know, there are some terrorists that bought on the futures market with evidence of a piece of paper signed by, in Quran, whatever it is. I mean, they can make up enough excuses to suppress the market. In the end, Andy, I don't have the crystal ball, but now I would just say it again, at $20 silver, it's really as low as it could get. It could go to 18, 15, but compared to the upside, the reward to risk ratio is extremely favorable.
And one of the things you mentioned, John, was, again, none of us know what's going to happen. So essentially, if you have gold and silver, physical gold and silver in your possession, and say, for example, there is a global catastrophe, not every jurisdiction in the world will have that catastrophe. So
yes.
you'll be able to use your gold and silver to buy yourself passage on a boat somewhere to take you to a jurisdiction that, and I remember leaving in Vancouver, there's always a threat of an earthquake. And I always said to my kids, in that vault is some gold coins. They're sovereigns that will buy you passage out of there when nobody else will take money. And I think this is the kind of thing where people need to think about that, because in this woke world, everyone, all these snowflakes believe that, oh, you just have to put your hand out and everything will be fine. No, we eat what we kill. And that is the reality of it. And that nothing will ever change that. And if something happens, we need to be able to make sure that we have the thought ahead enough to use what you've just described. This is available to us now. We're crazy not to take it.
Yes, well, Andy, humanity is thousands of years, and up to only a couple hundred years ago, people wear gold and silver because that is their insurance. If you go to Africa, and I think I heard stories or watched a movie. If you're in Africa, I think it's a real life story told by somebody, I can't remember the name. If you're in Africa and there's some riot, there's only one plane that's about to leave, there's only one seat left. Well, the guys with the Rolex rule the day. and I am a very strong advocate of multiple home rights. I have residences in Asia, in South America, in North America, in Canada, the United States. I can jump on the plane and, the next day I'm all set up with everything well to do and fully functional. And I think that's something that if you have the means to do so, you should, because the world is so unpredictable. And you're right. If you look at the COVID rollout, it's almost like a general hospital drama, right? Episodes, they were repeating. So they cannot possibly orchestrate or synchronize events all around the world at the same time. So the lucky thing is, Andy, there was always been signs, because such a big planning will always be slippage or leakage. So you got to take these signs in strides and make your plans accordingly. And Andy, it's not like these Brazilians or Argentinians, when the writing is on the wall that their dollar holdings in the Brazilian banks is going to be confiscated in exchange for real, and then the real is going to float the next day at at a crazy interest. So, you know, there's always signs on the wall, and it's never too late to plan and just have your ears and eyes open. And I think, like I said, you know, the world will survive, and coming out, people saying, you know what, if it's Armageddon, right? Then why bother? Look, Andy, there's always the light and shine on the other side. So when the worst come over, and the, imagine your bags full of gold and silver, where everybody's banks accounts are closed and able to access their digital currencies, whatever it is, central bank digital currency is controlled by the Fed, right? They could just, like, what recourse you have? Then that's on the other side is the shining, and you have all the capital that you have carefully accumulated and saved, ready to deploy. Andy, let me share with you some crazy happening. I just transited through United States. You're not even needing to slide your passport into the scanner anymore. I never enrolled anything digitally, but I'm looking at my, I go to the US in ESTA, I look at my screen, and they will just print out a receipt for me. I take that receipt and it's a green, and the guy let me go. It took 5 seconds. There was no punching computer. There's no entering birthdays. There's no scanning barcode. Now, can you imagine if you say something that the guy don't like? Like, who are you to adjudicate? They give you the printed a red. Who are you going to appeal? And you're done. Same with digital currencies. So all, and unfortunately, Andy, they have your scanner, retina scan. They have your fingerprint scan. You know, just like the novels where the Fed might be planting some drugs when they raid your home. They don't even need to do that anymore. They have all your biometrics, and like I said, I'm a little bit. I think the winning hands on the governor's side. They already have all the tools they need to stage their event. But you know what? What can we do, right? The only thing we can do is not to love each other or to protest. Is to, again, like I said, put your money where your mouth is. Get your gold and silver. Plan your multiple residences, and enjoy the show while you can. But guard the exit closely. It's kind of like that movie by Ethan Hawke, right? Like everything is hunky-dory until you see the order, and the guy changes his suit into something else, and then go on a different life. Nobody had the crystal ball, but just gotta have it, that plan B in the insurance policy in case, you know, unforeseen event happens.
Yeah, you know what? The one thing that's been running through this entire really insightful conversation with you, John, is really gold and silver, physical gold and silver in your possession. Guys, I keep saying this, take responsibility for yourselves. I say this to everyone. Nobody will look after you. You have to look after yourself, your family. You are the one that must do this. And you have the power. The resources is gold and silver, physical gold and silver. There is nothing else on this planet Earth that will actually serve you better in case of an attack of some sort. And you've just outlined there's a myriad of possibilities. We don't know what is coming, but we have. And anyone that ignores this advice is really culpable for their own demise.
And Andy, just let me show another real life example. If you look at countries like Argentina, or Zimbabwe or Congo, every time they ravaged their currency by hyperinflating, where the currency is no longer acceptable. So that means all the savers are wiped out, okay? All the elites, they've already gone to buy gold and silver, and they're already checked out already. They already have their policies planned out. But the middle class, the savers, the retirees, they're the ones get savaged. They're the ones got cleaned, the clocks cleaned. And you know what happens? And then the new cycle begins. And Andy, the way the new cycle begins is by the government's printing receipts, because government, even say United States, probably federal state payroll probably account for 30, 40, or even if you look at headcounts, probably even more, not in terms of the money distributed, but in terms of headcounts. And in this part of the world, probably even more, 60, 70%. So that goes into their Aurelian agenda. And once the currency gets destroyed, they will start issuing receipts, and that is their central bank planning. And those receipts are given out to the government workers, and the government workers start exchanging those receipts, and that's how the world starts all over again. So what you need to do is you need to get out of that system, right? Like a gold passport, it would fiat. That's no different. That's a gimmick. You want to get out of that system entirely by owning gold and silver. So you're bypassing that short circuit of a destroy of a currency and then issuing of receipts. You are on the other side. You're going to see some absolute terrific bargains in anything that you want, in real estate, in everything you want, ever wanted for. And it's coming, Andy. It's coming. It's coming. I mean, the fiat, the dollar has lasted, 100, 200 years. It's on its last leg. And like I said, one more time, it's not because people waking up to this fiat because they're all being brainwashed, but rather it's just the distaste of the dollar in the eyes of the dollar holder, the Saudis, the Chinese, the Japanese. And they are really looking for a plan B. And what you need to do is get ahead of that, because the straw is only so small, and try to siphon that gold and silver all at one time is just impossible. And we're in the last stealthy phase. Look, Andy, another way to look at it, we're 1800. People are saying, this is gold is fine. Gold is less than 10% from its all-time high. Think about that for a minute, right? And once 2000 got broken out, where it's going to go, nobody knows. But what I do know is there are trillions of dollars looking to exit the dollar from these national governments who don't see eye to eye with the United States anymore. So you don't want to lose, you don't want to get cute like Edwin Leprey said in the reminiscent stock operator. He see plenty of people who caught the bottom, but not many people actually make money out of that because they sold way too early. So, if you were able to buy a precise bottom, that may be a curse than a blessing, because you're a lot more likely to be selling early thinking that there's another bottom just on the horizon. So you want to take the opportunity between 1800 and 2000 and 2050 to buy as much as you can, because once the train leaves at 2100, it's not going to come back. Just like gold went past 300, all the, right away to 600 to 800 in the early 2000s.
You know what, John? It's not even rocket science, is it? I mean, honestly, you know, if you're going to put your money in the bank, and then you're going to lose 10% of that value. In other words, everything's going to cost you 10% more dollars, pounds, euros, whatever, to buy the same thing, whether it's gold, whether it's a house, whether it's anything tangible. So it's not rocket science. So, I mean, really, there's your 10% downside for having cash in the bank, which is a trading decision. People think, oh, no, my money's in the bank. No, you've loaned that to the bank. It's not your money. And that is a trading decision. So I always will say to people, you realize that was a trading decision you made. So really, when you look at then you bring gold to it and they say, well, isn't it volatile? No, step back, just like you have said, and you look at it in the real, in the big picture. What do you see? You just see it maintaining its value, and you could draw that chart back to 5,000 years and it would still be the same trajectory. And thank you. You know, John, thank you so much for your sage. And this is education, and education is to provide knowledge, and so we can make better decisions for our lives. And you've provided a huge amount of information here for people to think, let me think about this, because then that will affect their decision tomorrow.
Well, Andy, let me closing note. If you look at, for people that are halfway across the chasm and they still have some doubts, if you look at the competing choices for gold and silver, it used to be real estate. I made a lot of money in real estate. But real estate, I mean, at a rental yield of 5% versus 10-year at 5%, there's nothing. There's no gain to be had. And what about stocks? Again, you have all these companies are debt to asset ratio through the roof. All of the earnings now going to servicing the higher interest rates. So the equity market is going to be sort of treading sideways, even though because it's quasi tangible, but it has a debt overhanging. The real estate market is not as attractive because of the high interest rates. So gradually you're going to see fewer and fewer investment choices for you to park gold and silver. And that's why I think another reason, the higher interest is actually serve as an advantage to gold and silver. And sometime down the road, in the next 12 to 18 months, you're going to see gold and silver decoupling from the rising dollar, which means the dollar and gold is going to rise in tandem, just like it was in 1980, Andy. It's a lot of replay for 1980. You're going to see a lot higher interest rates. You're going to see a lot higher dollar. I'm not a dollar bear. and you're going to see equity sideways, and you're going to see gold and silver making a major run, because that is really the time is decoupled from the dollar, from all the asset classes, and that's when the attention is going to be caught in gold and silver going forward. And it's not going to take long, Andy.
No, I think you just said the lines are going to cross, and they're going to cross sometime soon. So are you ready is the message. So, John, thank you so much. And you know, I would dearly love to have you back again. This has been a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of information. And really, we've covered a tiny bit of what we could have. And I've got a lot of other questions for you another time. But if you're welcome, you're welcome to come back anytime, John.
You know, such a great pleasure that we're not just taking sound bites about, you know, the economy going to crash and whatnot. So I really enjoy very much of this conversation, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
Great. Well, likewise, John, thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrew McGuire, and the silver elephant himself, Mr. John Lee, for a fascinating discussion. And remember, everyone, buy physical and make sure it's one-to-one, and understand the difference between what Andy affectionately calls the casino paper gold and silver markets and the actual physical gold and silver markets. They're not the same. Don't be fooled. And there you have it. That's all we have for you today for another fascinating episode of Live from the Vault. Now, keep help spreading the word about this channel by hitting that like button. Share this information with people you know, and also hit that subscribe button. And if you click on the bell right there, you'll be notified in real time as these episodes go live. And with that, we'll see you right here next time on Live from the Vault. See you then.